Hi, this is Scott, and you're about to listen to the first episode of Feedback and Forth. This is a podcast that I'm doing with my friend Mike, and we used to be in a band called Tall Toad, and we were active pretty much throughout the 90s here in the Northwest during the whole grunge explosion. This podcast, we want to talk about what it was like to live through those times, to be in a band, to be a musician. Hopefully other musicians will find these podcasts interesting. In this first episode, we also mention our friend Tony, who was in the band, and we're hoping to have Tony on the show with us as we go along. During these episodes, we're also going to be playing at least one song of ours, and if time permits, you might get a couple of songs per episode. So sit back, crack a beer, enjoy these rock and roll misadventures, and laugh along with us. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Feedback and Forth with Scott and Mike. What do you say? Let's boogie.
Hey, welcome to the first episode of Feedback and Forth. I'm Scott.
And I'm Mike.
And we're here to talk about our experiences and adventures, mostly during the 90s, and being in the Northwest during the huge Northwest music explosion, and what it was like to be in a band during that time and watch all that stuff happening and watch it pass you by.
And there will be sidetracks because it's us.
And that's what we do.
Yes.
And there's a lot of things that tie into that era. It's going to be heavily about music, but we do like to go off on tangents and we'll most likely be covering a lot of topics. But the focus of this is going to be our band, which... our band was called Tall Toad.
Yeah, we were in the band with Tony Nitre.
Tony Nitre, our drummer, who is not with us. He's not dead. He's just not with us.
Yeah. Very important to point that out. Yes, he lives in the sweltering heat of Las Vegas now.
Yes, he seems to like it, I guess.
Yeah.
He hasn't actually told me that he likes it, but I'm assuming because he's been there for a while.
Yeah, well, I did see him a little while ago, and he did tell me that they rarely ever go into Las Vegas, which made me happy because no offense to anybody who might be listening in Las Vegas. You have a fine city. It's too fucking hot. There's too many lights, which is weird because I like cities. But...
There's something different about that one, though.
Yeah, it is.
And there's no trees. Are there trees?
They're
not like here.
Yeah, no, there's like short, not really palm trees. I don't know what the hell you would call them.
This is why we need Tony on the show to give us flora knowledge.
Yeah.
See, we'll be going off on tangents like this.
Just like that.
Just a sample of what you can look forward to. But, so we are hoping to have Tony on through the miracle of technology on later episodes and hopefully some other guests from during that whole time because we got to know a lot of other great musicians and we have a lot of friends that supported us or were just around to witness some of the crazy shit that went down.
So much crazy shit.
And I guess...
It's like... Where do we start?
Let's start at the beginning. Actually, we debated that and decided the beginning probably wasn't the best place to start.
Yeah.
We started the band in 1989.
Yes.
Mike and I, after having a tempted in high school and a little bit out of high school to start a band.
Yes.
And
without a drummer, which is...
We had a drum machine, a cheap, cheap-ass drum machine, which for some genres of music probably would have been fine, but we were trying to play some version of heavy...
Yeah, it's like, I have tried to, like, pinpoint what we were going for there, and it's really, it's kind of like, what were we listening to back then?
A lot of metal.
Yeah, like, it was almost kind of like an AC/DC kind of crossed with, I don't know, I want to say like, you know, early Metallica.
Right.
But the hints of Voivod in there, maybe.
Definitely. Like, right. Yeah, this is something that plagued us. Well, it depends on how you look at it. It could be a plague, or if you do it right, it could be pretty awesome. But we've, from the very beginning, I think we've always, or never, quite had a firm grasp on what exactly we were doing musically. Yeah. That came out not the way I wanted it to. as far as trying to place a label on what type of music we were playing, I think even back then in high school, it was just a mix of everything we liked and trying to do all of it at once with no skill whatsoever.
Yeah, and that drum machine, because it should be pointed out that, like, our friend Dan would program in, like, these segments of drums.
Right.
And then while we were playing, he'd have to, like, quickly reach over and switch which one was playing. So there'd always be this little stop.
Right.
And then start. And then
right. Because we were trying to get different tempos in some of the songs. And, the drum machine didn't hold that much.
Yeah. It's like you couldn't.
Information. So.
Yeah. You couldn't, like. Okay, after this part is going to be this, and have it, like, nowadays, you can, you know, do a 25-minute song.
Right. And it all syncs up. No, this was all done by hand. But we made do. We wrote some cool songs. That ended with the death of our friend Dan, and we will at some point get into that.
Yes.
But I think for today, we'll just have this as some background to how this led into the formation of Tall Toad and all the stuff that happened after.
Yes.
good and bad, and all the things that happened around us while it was going on, because we were technically there at the beginning. And I think, given that we grew up in a very, very small town, the town of Yelm, Washington, south of Olympia, kind of between, or north of Olympia, kind of between Olympia and Tacoma.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of nowhere. So there were musical things happening in the Northwest way before we really were aware of them. Some of the bands you would most likely know, like Melvin's, Green River. The Soundgarden had already been formed.
Yeah.
And so those bands were happening. We didn't really know about them because we were out in the middle of nowhere. But yeah. So I think you have to give us a little leeway there. So when I say we were there at the beginning and talking about 88, 89, that was the beginning for if you were in Yelm.
Yeah.
So...
Although we did start to get into the Melvins earlier on, I think that was definitely like
still in high school. Yeah. So there was going to be a lot of mention of the Melvins on these episodes, because they were huge, huge influences on us in a lot of ways.
When you've seen them 13 to 14 times, expect them to be dropped.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Something's going to rub off on you. So I guess we probably were aimed in that direction, before grunge was a word. Mike might, but I'm going to try to refrain from saying grunge too much.
it's just a term, man. Made up.
It's a silly term, and it's still in dispute. I think Mark Arm does claim that he coined it, but facetiously. And, of course, everybody ran with it, and it became a thing. But
what a dick. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Good job, man. Mark.
I'm sorry, Arm. Mr. Arm.
Another huge influence on us, Mr. Arm.
Yes.
And his various bands. So all of that stuff's going to come into play at some point. So just for some context, when we're talking about our band in the beginning, you can imagine this Northwest stew of music just kind of swirling and swirling, getting ready to explode. It hadn't exploded yet, but it was happening.
Yes.
Also, I do refer to it as the Northwest music explosion, not the Seattle music, because
there's bands out of Tacoma.
That's too. Right. Tacoma, Aberdeen, Ellensburg,
Montesano,
the heaviest town in the world. I always salute the Thriftway when I'm driving 101 past Montesano. The Thriftway where Buzz from the Melvins worked, and his manager was named Melvin, where they got the name for the band. So every time I see that Thriftway, I'm just like, oh man, history was made there, and most people probably don't even know. But getting back to us, so part of what also this podcast is going to be is a reuniting of Mike and I think, because we haven't been this. The band broke up in
1999.
Holy shit. We went first, the whole decade.
And we first attempted to break up in 98. Right.
Yes.
Where then you and I played with our friend Duffy Delgado.
Yes. Yeah.
And John Hill.
Mm-hmm.
In the Newmans.
Great name.
It is.
Underappreciated.
But, you know, that lasted, what, like all of 3 months or something?
A few months, yeah. And then Duffy bailed for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't fully remember why. But,
but then, you know, we decided to get back with Tony.
Yes.
It's like, hey, let's do this. Let's... And we, you know, we had new songs
new
that
songs,
we were
going
to do.
A new
like,
name. We were going to play under the Power Steves originally.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, the Power Steves. Somebody even made us like router to sign. Was that Tony? It was probably Tony.
Tony.
We had a sign that said the Power Steves. Like one of those routered wood signs like my mom and dad have hanging off their gate.
I made a couple like that because I had
maybe that was
shop,
you.
You know. I don't think I had access to a router. Then, but yeah. God, man, the Power Steves.
The Power
that
Steves.
Is a name.
Yes. And then, so we wrote all these, all new songs, and we're practicing in, Mike and I were sharing a house at the time, and we were practicing in that garage. I'm popping my peas. That's a no-no in the recording industry, but I'm doing it anyway, because I'm a rebel. But we're doing all this under the Power Steves, and then I think one day one of us was like, "This is ridiculous. We're
known as Tall Toe.
Yeah, we're the same fucking band. Nobody, we're not gonna fool anybody."
So then we named ourselves the Cornwells. We thought we could go back to Tall Toad, but
there was another band named Tall Toad. So we were Tall Toad Jr. at that point.
But yeah, this time we were gonna practice. We're gonna do a show, but we're gonna get ready for it.
Right. We were gonna
record, and we're gonna be professional this time.
Right. Our history of music in that band was slop, I guess would be a nice way to put it. We had our merits, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't have played in the band that long if I didn't think we were awesome, but we definitely had a tendency to be sloppy.
And I want to kind of bring up, I know this is kind of early on. It was Tony, when he would first start to play the drums back when we first formed this band, he had this, it was like, you know, subconscious, I guess, will at some point in the song, either at the beginning, if we were playing live, or at practice, somewhere in the middle of like speeding up just a little bit. And it was just, I mean, it was impressive because I'm like, man, he's a fast drummer. But it was like, wait, but we have this rhythm. And then suddenly, towards the end, Tony got it. He got the quarter stroke down.
The quarter stroke was a huge, huge move. Oh, man. Yes.
But the trade-off is he couldn't play really that fast for very long.
Yes, we never had both at the same time. Hey, this is Scott again. Just interrupting the podcast here to let you know that now is the time where we play one of our songs. The song we've selected for this episode is called Unaware. It's one of the last songs we wrote, and we never got to properly record it. So sound quality is not going to be the greatest. This is a garage recording on a cassette player. But we picked this song because we were talking about the end, and we wanted to illustrate also what we were talking about with Tony's drumming vastly improving. So I hope you enjoy this song. Thank you.
last thing.
It was definitely, in a lot of ways, it was, I think it was hard for us as far as being in the band and playing, but I think for people watching, it was always pretty kick-ass because it seemed like we could go off the rails at any second.
I was just going to say, that train.
And sometimes we did, so.
Crazy. Crazy train.
As long
as,
as long as we're going back that far. And again, we will be meandering as our brains, what brain cells we have left take us.
I was going to say, just like we did.
But as long as we're on the topic of Tony and I know we're jumping from the very end back to the beginning. Maybe we should finish talking about the end, actually, and then I'll talk about that.
Yeah. You know, I had started watching the Beatles anthology again because it always seems to inspire me for music. And they do that, you know. They go, let's go back. And then
right. So we are sidetracked. We're basically the second coming of the Beatles, in case you didn't know. We've often been called the Lennon and McCartney of grunge. But only by me. Nobody else has called us that. But yeah, so those songs at the end were a lot different than our early stuff, and we were very proud of those songs.
They were
still
more
am.
Involved, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. It incorporated a lot more different styles of music. We were putting psychedelia in there, which is something we always kind of flirted with, and I feel like we never quite got right.
Yeah, we were attempting to actually really harmonize, like on...
Yeah,
like
trying to improve vocals. I was like crafting solos. I was trying to write. Oh, maybe we should tell people what we did in the band. I was the manager.
Yeah.
And he drove the van. So this is how it's going to be. So buckle your seatbelt if you have one. Our van didn't. So, but okay. I was the...
Well, no, wait, to be fair, the van did have a seatbelt.
It just happened to be
on the driver's seat.
On the psycho driver's, yes. Which would be the guy that's not here in the room with us today.
This is already the greatest podcast ever.
I think it's going well. And we're definitely going to talk about the van, too, at some point. But we... I totally lost. I lost where we were. I know. Okay,
it was about Tony.
Tony and the songs, the structures. Well, anyway, we can edit this part out. What the hell was I talking about?
I thought it was something about Tony.
Tony, you said we were harmonizing. I said we were working on. Oh, I wanted to say what we did.
Oh, yeah, continue. You were crafting solos.
Right. Okay.
And then you realize, like, we haven't even told them exactly.
What kind of solo?
Yeah.
Cello? I don't know. Okay. Okay. All that cut. Okay. So with the new songs, I was trying to create a solo. I was trying to craft a solo. Instead of just winging it, which is pretty much what I did all the way up till then. And again, I guess we need to tell people what we did in the band. I played guitar, and I'm going to say vocals. Because I can't quite bring myself to call myself a singer. But I was main vocalist and guitarist.
I was the bass player. And less vocals.
Some vocals.
Yeah. Backup vocals. Even though I wrote songs, I will admit, I was chicken shit to actually sing my own songs.
Hey, it took Ace Frehley like 6 albums before he sang lead on his own songs.
There you go. That gives me hope. But yeah, then I started to sing some of my own songs. And then at the end, of course, you know, we really worked hard. I finally kind of got comfortable singing. Yeah, and then we'll get into But no, it's like the idea was, because before we'd write songs and then we'd, you know, practice. And it was, you know, practicing, of course, because we had gigs and mm-hmm. all that. But we always had that intention of recording.
Right.
But then we would write so much shit that it's like we got into like, oh, we have to like record. So we got like, you know, 2 months we're going to mm-hmm. record. So we got to do all this practice and get ready. And, right. and then we'd have this short amount of time to record, like 2 to 4 days to do everything, like mix.
4 days was luxurious.
Yes. And but the idea was like, okay, maybe we can actually spend, you know, 5 to 6 days and then we'll be ready because we'll right. you know, practice, you know, months of practicing and getting ready for this show and to record eventually. And
right.
so that's where the whole crafting came in. It's like, well, fuck, you know, if we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it right this time.
Exactly.
Not do it. Let's not be the bumbling idiots we have been for 8 years so far. It seemed like a good idea, and it was working. I guess, should we just jump to the end? We did. Oh, we're also switching instruments.
Oh yeah,
on some
right.
songs. We're getting really feeling good about ourselves. So Mike was playing guitar, and Tony jumped on bass.
Yeah, he had thumb bass.
Thumb bass, he did. Right. He had some weird, crazy thumb technique going on.
Yeah, it's like he would. didn't feel comfortable picking with fingers or a pick.
Yeah.
So he got this, thumb thing going on.
It's almost a funk, but without any funk, you know.
it was kind of post-funk.
Post-funk.
Contributor retraction. Hey, this is Mike. What you just heard apparently is erroneous. As Tony had informed us, he didn't actually pick with his thumb. He actually used his thumb on the fretting hand. On the frets. On the fretboard. Thank you.
But it was whatever it was working, and I was playing drums. That was my first attempt at playing drums. A very, very rudimentary drum beats. But we only had 2 or 3 maybe songs that we did that on, so we didn't have a lot of time to explore that. But they were great songs, really good songs. And we had a gig. We decided we were going to showcase these songs. And we got, I don't remember how that gig came about, because I don't know either of the bands we played with at that show.
Yeah, who booked that gig?
Memory.
The gig that I'm staring at.
Eludes
right
me. Oh, yeah, there's the flyer. Look at that. I can tell you it was Saturday, May 15th. All ages, $3. $3. That was a common price to get into one of our shows. Yeah, part.
Yeah, because we were opening the show, so it wasn't us
right.
that did it.
Right, and one of these bands is from Seattle, and the other's from Michigan. So I have no idea. No idea.
Yeah.
We are operating on diminished brain cells.
It was some guy that booked us on a gig. I want to say it was like out in Aberdeen or something.
Oh, that dude.
Because I remember when we were playing the show, since we were, you know, like Tony and I, you know, almost the beginning,
right.
we'd do at least backup vocals.
Yeah.
But since we had lead vocals now, it's like, you know, everybody, of course, had a microphone. To bump just sorry. Like I did. But one of them had like a short in it or something, because I remember if you accidentally bumped it with your lips, mm-hmm. you'd get shocked.
Right.
And I remember what somebody ran out to tell this guy, and he did something ridiculous that did not fix the problem.
I remember now the guy you're talking about. I don't remember his name, but yeah, he was from Aberdeen.
Do you remember the show that we were on originally? It wasn't the infamous one where we didn't actually
play.
But there's we'll get into that.
Yeah, that's a whole episode, I think. I think that we played in that big, I don't even know what that place was. It had that weird old bar in one corner, and then the rest of it just looked like this big open old gym or something. I don't know what it was, and I cannot remember the bands either. Man, some of those shows are very, very vague.
Yeah, but really vague.
But it was definitely that guy. So somehow we got on this show through that guy. That's all I remember.
Yeah, maybe somebody ran into him or something.
Right. Oh, and as long as we're talking about this show, I'm going to put this out here. Somebody fucking well recorded it on video.
Yes.
There's a video
out there. Because I remember it was a new camera, some like digital camera, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
It took like small tape.
Yeah, when these were like brand new almost, I think.
Yeah, and you recorded it.
Whoever you are, you're out there.
We need that.
We definitely need it.
Because people had actually told us we sounded really great.
It was
and it's our new stuff.
It is. We didn't play any songs from pre-breakup. All the stuff we played that night was brand new. Nobody had ever heard. People liked it. We concentrated on playing the songs correctly.
Yes.
We still rocked out, don't get me wrong, but we didn't rock out to the
extent that we, you know.
Nobody fell over anything. I don't think we got drunk first or anything like that. We really wanted to present these songs as awesome new songs, and it went over really well.
Yeah.
And our hope was that would be the new beginning of an awesome thing, but shortly after that show, Mr. Nitre, Mr. Yes. Tony Nitre, our drummer, approached us. I don't remember how this went down exactly, but he informed us that he and his wife were they married at the time?
Yeah.
They had.
Yeah, because remember?
Right.
Because we were.
Oh, we were in the wedding. yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, we were wearing tuxes and everything.
Yep. In summer,
high summer. Yes.
Catholic wedding, so it's, you know, it was like hour plus.
At least.
Standing up,
beautiful,
sitting down.
Beautiful ceremony. Yes. But yeah, so they had got, Tony had married, and so at some point, I feel like it was not long after that show, Tony informed us that he and his wife were going to be moving to Las Vegas.
Yeah, and that was because I know Tina, his wife, she'd gotten her teaching certificate or something, whatever mm-hmm.
Right.
But she couldn't get a job up here because,
right,
you know, it was tough to get into the union.
Yeah.
So, but down in Las Vegas, they had lots of open space for her. Tony could actually get a job doing drafting.
Yeah.
Tony.
He was not happy with his work situation up here. And, you know, Tony was always kind of the one that was going to go down that road first.
Yeah, I could always see him getting...
Right.
Married and
so
having kids.
The fact of all that going down wasn't really a shock, but it was on our end, band-wise, it was a disappointment.
Yeah.
Because we did have those songs and we were... I feel like for the first time people were complimenting us on how great our songs were, whereas previously... Most of our career, the sort of things we would hear after a show was, wow, you guys were wild.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, thought your drummer's head was going to blow up or, you know.
Yeah, the time with Tony, you know, when he broke his cymbal stand and then he threw it into the lake. We'll get to that, too.
Right. So stuff like that. Like, it's not that people didn't like us necessarily, but I think sometimes our live visual performance way overshadowed the actual music.
Yeah.
And we have no one to blame for that but ourselves.
You know, that's the cost of rocking.
That's right. Hey, we were feeling it, definitely feeling it. Fueled by a lot of Rainier beer, which we're having right now in memory.
You can't see this, but I can.
There's a big red R right next to the microphone. But that's sort of the beginning and end. So that was our one and only show with those new songs.
And, yes.
And we never properly recorded them either, which is a damn shame.
No, we have practice recordings of most of them. I know there's at least one song that we don't have. I would say two, probably.
Yeah.
And some of them that we have didn't even have lyrics yet.
Right. So we just have some practice recordings in with no, you know, they're like skeletons. Some of them are just skeletons of songs. But you can see where they were going to grow and be cool. We had a really wide variety. I think I wrote my first sort of country-ish rock song.
Yeah.
And I know I had one that was a blatant ripoff of Neil Young.
Oh, yeah. But it's great. I listened to that. It's like, man, we were really good on that song.
It was
it's
a
like,
stretch for us. Yeah, I was pretty happy with
it,
those. So.
It's an ode to Neil.
Yes, that's what I meant. I meant ode. An ode. So that's basically, yeah, so a decade. Pretty much a decade of rock.
Yep.
The good decade things have been taken already. Motley Crue had decade of decadence and Slayer had decade of destruction or some shit. Decade.
Has anybody used decade of drunkenness?
Ah, there you go. That's more apt anyway. Decade of drunkenness. So this is what we're going to be exploring. Is that not, well, that roughly 10 years of us being in music. I feel like my microphone's getting lower and I'm slumping farther and farther down. Might just be my imagination.
We have a very tall toad-esque setup here.
We're also going to go back and talk about how we got involved in music at all. And I think I mentioned this earlier, but part of this, besides just reconnecting, is... This is an opportunity, I think, for Mike and I to find out stuff about each other that we never really talked about back then. Some things that I was curious about when we first started talking about doing this podcast. And hopefully those things will be of interest to someone. someone besides our closest friends.
Yes.
But we hope that you will all become our friends. And we're also going to be playing some of our music. We have a huge, vast amount of recorded music that no one, or hardly anyone, has ever heard. So you're going to get to hear some of our songs.
Yeah, a lot of it actually recorded by real people. And then some from, you know, our practice recordings of stuff that maybe, you know, we didn't ever record because... Yeah, we were always, hey, this we've been playing this for 2 months.
Right, move on, move on. We've had some conversations about this recently. I think a lot of this is what led up to the idea to do this podcast. So Tony moved. I think my math skills are very poor. How long ago was that? 17 years ago? 17, 18 years
Let's
ago?
See, 99... It's 2018, so that's 19?
Carry the one. 19 years. Jeez, so yeah. a long time ago.
Well, so next year, be like, hey, happy 20th.
There you go. We'll do a special episode.
We'll get Tony on.
Yes.
We'll fly him up here. Years in Las Vegas.
So he'd been gone for a long time, and it wasn't until last year when he came up. Yeah, about a year ago. Wait, yeah.
It was
yeah. I think it was September of last year. Maybe it was October. It was somewhere around this. Anyway, Tony came up, and it was the first time the three of us had seen each other all at the same time in that long. And we were reminiscing about a lot of stuff, and... found out some things, mostly through Tony, that I didn't know were going on in his head about the band. Sorry, I'm just adjusting my mic as I'm talking. We're in a dungeon and somebody just opened the creaky dungeon door. All right. Edit. the bringing together of the three of us set a lot of things in motion, and also Mike's wife, who I don't know if she wants her name associated with us or not. I'll leave that up to you. Actually kicked all this off a while back by having heard Mike tell all these stories.
Oh. Yeah, it was the years of, you know, occasionally there'd be something coming up and be like, you know, that reminds me of this story. Or else she'd hear something and she'd be like, you know, what's up with that?
Right.
And then she just thought that we had so many, for a band that never really became huge, we had a lot of stories, and a lot of them were of the funny variety. Definitely. So she thought it'd be really great to maybe make a documentary about her band because, you know, we were 10 years together. We did a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And during that era when a lot was going on and we knew a lot of people peripherally, we had friends that knew some of the, you know, big names.
Yeah.
We didn't really. But
no.
But she, yeah, so she started filming us and interviewing people and delving into some deep shit that I hadn't thought about in a long time. And that's still a project that's ongoing, but we thought while that was ongoing, we could also do this.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot that's probably gonna get edited out. Like me adjusting this microphone again.
You never know.
But we're going to cover a lot of ground, and we're going to talk about that decade of being in a band in the 90s in the Northwest. But we're also going to talk about what it was like to grow up here and to live in a tiny town in the middle of nowhere and to be into rock and roll back then. And just growing up here in the Northwest in the 70s and 80s and what led to us wanting to play music and what music means to us. And I could foresee some episodes where we barely talk about ourselves at all. We might just talk about bands that were heavily influential on us.
You never know where this could go.
It's going to be a wild, wild ride.
I mean, you know, we'll probably veer off into talking about books, movies,
all that stuff.
Yeah,
especially as a lot of
William
our songs. I'd like to get him as a guest on here if we possibly could. If anyone knows how to contact Mr. Shatner, please send us an email. But a lot of that stuff, a lot of those pop culture things found their ways into our songs for sure. I was thinking
of, you know, like a couple in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to give away yet because we're going to talk about it.
Right.
Because, yeah, we use some, like on some of our recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Like we'd be like, hey, that's great. Let's use that somewhere.
Yes. And with no permission.
Exactly.
Sometimes it could be a lyric, or sometimes we'd actually take a sample and not ask for anyone's permission to use it. But
yeah, you know, it's probably a good thing that, you know, like our last actual recording never really got released because we would have been sued into the ground.
Yes, I think Ben Affleck might come after us. also, Roger Corman's still alive, and he likes money, so he might. I know he owns at least one snippet that we used. All of that's going to come into play. This is episode one. Hopefully, is going to serve as a weird introductory episode just to let you know who we are and why we're doing this.
So yeah, so that's what you get to be, get to be looking forward to.
Um,
Yeah, it's like, how do you end?
Yeah, that's the other thing. I didn't think about the beginning or the ending, just the middle stuff. Well, let's see. I wanted to go. There's something we were talking about.
I do have to say that at the beginning and end of each podcast, at least, there will always be some music by us.
Right. We own this music. Don't try to claim it.
Yeah.
Sue us.
But then usually there will, you know, there'll be stuff in between.
We'd like to, yeah, we'd like to share some of those songs with you that people haven't heard, and we haven't pulled them out yet to look at what we want to play, but I'm sure they'll be very exciting. I do know one thing that people need to hear, and that's our early version of Hellhole, I think, should go out.
All right.
Because I think that sums up pretty much everything about us, is that one version. I think you know which one I'm talking
yes.
about.
Yes. In fact, if I remember correctly, it's, what, like at least maybe a third of the song?
If we even got that far. But damn it, we were having a good time.
So yeah, just, you know, check back, subscribe.
Yes.
If you want.
And drop us a line. Somehow. Let us know what you think. There's probably a comment section somewhere. I could give out my personal email, but I'm not quite ready to do that.
Write us a letter.
While the post office still exists, you can mail us.
Yes, and while you still remember how to
yes.
write and spell, that isn't a text.
And slip a little cash in there too.
Yeah.
Support us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is gonna be fun. There's gonna be lots of music, lots of talking about music, and lots of laughing. And hopefully we'll also touch you deeply. But not in an inappropriate way. So thanks for listening, and the next episode will have a little more of a theme to it.
Yes, but we might be better prepared. But you know, who knows, maybe not.
Probably not.
It's gonna be free form.
And even if we are prepared, we probably won't stick to
no,
whatever we
yes.
prepared. So
it's us. You don't know us, but it's us.
You will. Trust. This is what you're in for. So try to hang with us if you can. If you need to clean the house, put us on in the background and listen to it. And don't forget to scrub under the ring of the toilet.
Yes. And, you know, if you're driving, you might not want to listen, because the amount of laughter that you will experience, you
that's
might
right.
veer off the road or
it's
something.
It's definitely a hazard. There should be a warning sticker on this podcast. And I think that's probably about it for this episode. So check in and
and check out.
Oh my God. All right, everybody. See you later. Enjoy this
Bye.
Music.